And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, your former colleague as a lawyer, the former Attorney General of the Americas, Pam Bondi, testified before Congress this week in what had to be one of the most cringeworthy appearances on record. She refused to testify under oath, and she insisted on testifying secretly. She testified under oath one way, and then came and held a press conference immediately afterwards, denying that what she said in the hearing, which was immediately revealed, of course, is what she said. How's that for a lawyer?
Well, I kind of resent you calling me a colleague of hers. Is she a colleague of mine? You got to understand that this is someone who had a political career and decided that they were going to throw their reputation away for Donald Trump and a brief stint in the spotlight. You know, she was the Attorney General in Florida, and she was investigating Donald Trump, and then somehow dropped the investigation. And
but wait a minute, didn't she drop the investigation after he gave her $25,000?
That's what I was saying, and somehow a fairly large contribution appeared in her campaign.
Yeah.
And then she gets the nomination to be the Attorney General and refuses, like everybody else who Trump nominates, to acknowledge that Trump lost the 2020 election. But what really kind of sank her was the fact that the MAGA wave, which was in many ways, in terms of enthusiasm, predicated on the Epstein investigation, which happened in Florida, that she jumped right into it, saying, I've got the information right here in my desk, and we'll reveal it in about 2 weeks. We're just double checking for to redact certain people's names. And of course, nothing ever came of that. Excuses came of that. And then as MAGA became more and more infuriated, and the victims became more and more infuriated, the heat kind of got to the point where she gets ousted or as the Attorney General, and Todd Blanche gets put in there, another person who had a reputation as a good lawyer and threw it away. Blanche...
But wait a minute. He is a good lawyer. He does whatever he thinks his client wants him to do. Well, isn't that that's his job, right?
No.
He's just not a good Attorney General.
No, well, no, that's not what a good lawyer does. A
good lawyer. I knew it would come out finally. Okay, let's hear it.
A good lawyer represents his or her client zealously, but within the parameters of the law and the ethics of the profession. Todd Blanche.
But the Supreme Court has ruled that the president is immune from having to be walled in by the truth.
Yeah, but the president is not a member of a bar association.
That's true.
Where he can be disbarred, as a number of people who represented Donald Trump or went out on a limb for him and found out. And the other thing is, of course, Blanche, as acting Attorney General, is supposed to represent the people of the United States.
Oh, not the president.
Not, yeah, not the president. You are the people's lawyer, not the sitting office holder's lawyer. If there, for instance, if there's a case brought, a criminal case brought, the caption of the case is the United States versus Jake Rosen or something like that, not Donald Trump, president of the United States.
Why does it have to be Jake Rosen? Why can't it be somebody else?
Well, I'm just personalized. You know,
I got it.
Joe Schmo, you want to?
Joe Schmo, all right. I'd like him better.
Right? Joe Schmo from Kokomo.
Right.
Anyway, but got your attention. anyhow.
All right, I won't attack lawyers. All right, I give up.
There's certain lawyers that certainly deserve attacking.
Pam Bondi.
Rudy Giuliani.
Right.
John
Eastman.
John Eastman, Cleta Mitchell. The list goes on and on and on.
Clark of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. I was reminded when the House committee, when the Democrats controlled it, and Congressman Thompson, Benny Thompson, head of the committee, and they were showing some of the testimony of members of the Justice Department. There were a couple of people who stood out as not going that last mile for Donald Trump and saying, you know, this stuff is illegal and you can't do this. I can't remember.
Those were all Democrats.
I'm not sure. They were members of the Justice Department. Don't forget, we have people resigned in the Justice Department rather than do that.
That's true.
But you know, Clark, I forget what his first name was, but anyway, that one lawyer in one of the meetings said to him, "Congratulations," when they were trying to make him attorney general. You know, your first act is going to be to break the law and go to jail. That's the kind of lawyer that you really want. You want somebody who understands the big picture and says we can only go so far. You can only go up to the line. You can't cross it.
Of course, one of the outstanding lawyers involved in the administration is Mr. Kennedy. Can't forget Kennedy, the Secretary of Health and Human Welfare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Talk about giving different versions at different times.
Yeah.
What's he in now? Snake handling? Is that the latest?
Snake handling, right. I don't know why he's doing snake handling. It's a practice by a Baptist sect that's strong in Dalton, Georgia, and Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's where they exist. The Georgia people are the people that Marjorie Taylor Greene represented, and snake handling is a peculiar religious practice by some Baptists in that area.
Yeah,
I don't exactly know how Kennedy got involved in that.
Yeah, every once in a while you read where one of them gets bitten and and meets Jesus very quickly after that. But anyhow,
no, if they get bitten by the snake, they're not going to meet Jesus. They're going to meet the devil.
Well,
that's proof that they're irredeemable.
That they're irredeemable. Okay,
yeah.
So it's sort of like the old witchcraft trials, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We dunk you in the water. If you die, you were a witch, and if you don't no. If you die, you're good. If you don't die, you're a witch.
Exactly.
Yeah, that thing, you know, heads we win, tails you lose.
And just to make sure that we're not accused of being anti-Southern, that was a Massachusetts practice.
Yes. Yeah.
Insane, superstitious religious beliefs exist everywhere.
Yes. And which is why the founders didn't want the mixing of religion and the state.
Exactly. Precisely.
Except we have that movement now, too, which is run by a bunch of charlatans who claim just the opposite.
Right. That's right. And you know, aided and abetted by the vice president who told the Pope, head of the church this fellow just joined, that he, the Pope, didn't understand theology and should go back to reading the Bible. The Catholics don't believe in the inerrant truth of the Bible, by the way.
Yeah. The the Protestants, the evangelicals, are the ones that
right.
Wrote the Bible.
Vance may have forgotten what church he belongs to. Anyway, back to politics.
Yeah, although I did, did want to mention Vance's, his backer, Peter Thiel.
Oh.
Who I don't know if he belongs to a church at all. I mean, he's
well,
becoming...
He lectures on theology.
Well, he talks about the Antichrist all the time.
Yeah, well, he should know.
He walks among them.
He walks among them, right.
But now he's taken the long walk to Argentina, apparently, after deciding that he's going to try to rig American politics in favor of himself and his fellow technocrats and billionaires. He's commencing to set up shop about as far away from the United States as you can get.
Well, that's good for us.
Yeah, don't let the door hit you on your way out.
Right.
Stay there.
But let me get back to Bondi. Didn't Bondi testify, although she denied saying this when she appeared before the press, but didn't the congressman report that she testified that the only reason she didn't release the material that she claimed that she had, which were millions of documents, which would hardly have fit on her desk, was because Kash Patel and her deputy, Todd Blanche, prevented her from doing it?
Yeah, she blamed them for everything.
Yeah. How did they have authority over her? Well, Blanche might have, because Blanche was speaking for the president. She couldn't, she didn't have the authority to speak for the president that he had, despite the fact that the table of organization of the Justice Department made her the boss. Blanche obviously was the real boss, although now he wants the title in name, not only in fact. But
yeah. And I guess that Trump is still dangling out there, probably trying to see whether or not he can get confirmed. Don't forget, we have a lot of vacancies in the administration. Which is why Marco Rubio has so many jobs.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
but.
The Department of Justice under Blanche is now carrying out a criminal investigation of E. Jean Carroll, the woman who won the lawsuit, two lawsuits against Trump, one for, as the judge said, doing what everybody in the world would consider rape,
which penetration.
Penetration, but which is not technically rape under New York law.
Right.
So Trump said he never did it. So she sued him again for lying and defaming her. And she won $82 million, which Trump has never paid.
Right.
And is continuing to deny. And now she is being investigated on a criminal complaint by the Department of Justice.
Right.
For winning the lawsuit. Why don't they arrest the jurors and the judge?
Well, they contend that she lied under oath when she said she didn't know that certain people were funding her lawsuit, paying her lawyers. And apparently this has been investigated previously, and no charges came out of it, because even if that had been true, she may not have, known about it.
That's right.
So to her knowledge, she was telling the truth.
Right.
And it's kind of tenuous. Some organizations funded by someone else, so she may not have known what the origin of the money was to the organization that was backing her.
But in any case, whether or not she lied about that has nothing to do with Trump's guilt. He's trying to make the point.
Yeah.
First of all, he's trying to punish her, put her in, this 82-year-old woman, put her in jail. But then the other thing is, he doesn't want to pay the money.
Of course. And he's trying to get a case that was in state court adjudicated now in federal court.
By turning it into a criminal complaint, he can do that.
It's part of the deal. Yeah, it's part of what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
But the larger picture is, this is what America rebelled against. This is what tyrants do. use the people under their commands to terrorize anybody who stands up to them.
Are you saying that the statement by King Louis XIV, "I am the state," doesn't hold for America?
L'état, c'est moi.
L'état, c'est moi, right.
Yeah, that's about all the French I know. France had a separate revolution, you know, where they beheaded people. We didn't do that. Yeah, we were dealing with George III. We're dealing with George III, and who was and as all British monarchs are known as protectors or defenders of the faith.
Right.
They merge roles of the state and religion on things, but the United States made very clearly in the Constitution, in the First Amendment, there should be no establishment of a state religion, and also that there shall be no religious test for holding office in the United States.
Well, that brings us right to the Texas primary.
Yes.
Where the man who holds that the country should be a Christian nation, religious in its orientation and governed by religious law, won the Republican nomination, despite the fact that the Republicans themselves moved to impeach him.
Well, talk about religion. He is being sued for divorce on biblical grounds,
right?
By his exactly.
By his
wife.
Yeah.
Now we know what that means.
Yes.
He's a scoundrel, and he's gotten away with it. He's just Texas' version of Donald Trump. I will do anything to get away with things. He was charged with, I believe, some form of fraud.
He was charged with stock trading fraud, with embezzlement. There's no end to what he was charged with.
And he bought himself out with some sort of a payment, a civil payment or what have you. But the fact of the matter is, he's as corrupt as they come.
And it was the Republicans, because they controlled the legislature. The Republicans were the ones who indicted him, impeached him. And although they say that he was... he beat the rap. He wasn't convicted. The fact is, when the vote in the Texas legislature on conviction took place, he lost. The majority voted to kick him out, but not the 2/3 majority. He managed to avoid by I think one vote the 2/3 majority.
Yeah.
But he was overwhelmingly repudiated by the Republicans and the Democrats.
There's a couple lessons in here in Texas. First of all, we see the power of Donald Trump again in primaries, just like in Louisiana or in Kentucky with Tom Massey, where the vote was overwhelmingly against the incumbent, be it Bill Cassidy in Louisiana or Massey in Kentucky. And here we had a four-term U.S. senator in the Republican leadership, well-known conservative, votes with Donald Trump over 90, probably 99% of the time. And that's not good enough for Donald Trump, because he wouldn't go for ending the filibuster. So he changed his mind trying to, he wanted someone more loyal or more of a rapscallion, so to speak. And interestingly, don't forget, in the original primary, which created the runoff, John Cornyn won.
Yeah.
He had the higher vote total.
Yeah.
He had, it was either 46 or 48% of the vote to 44%, something like that, if I'm recalling correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And now, all of a sudden, with Donald Trump's endorsement going against him, Cornyn only got 34% of the vote. So,
but don't forget, the vote was not a big vote. The vote was a small vote.
Right. That's the way of primaries. But still, Cornyn could not get as much vote out as he got previously, or people abandoned him. And there is another lesson to be learned in that, and that is, when it comes to MAGA, they will stick together with Donald Trump. Character doesn't matter to them. Criminality doesn't matter to them. All they say is, he's our man. He's got the R and the Trump R after his name. That's good enough for us. If he shoots someone on Fifth Avenue or if he shoots someone in San Antonio, we don't care. This is the kind of guy we want to represent us. And I think Democrats have to understand that, taking the high road or whatever, there's a certain cadre of people that they're never going to convince. And they shouldn't even try to do that. Their hope is, I think, only trying to get the people who are independents to say enough is enough. Unfortunately, a lot of the independents will say a pox on both your houses and stay away. And that's another problem that we have in the elections. We're constantly being faced with the lesser of two evils. Now, I'm not calling James Tallarico evil. He's pretty impressive in his knowledge and his political savvy and whatever, but he's made some statements that are going to go to the way Donald Trump beat Harris last time on trans, on other things. Look at they're trying to control the emotions by calling him a vegan, right?
Right.
And Democrats shouldn't fall in that trap. You don't play in that thing. I thought his answer was, I've been eating Texas barbecue since before Paxton was first indicted, which is pretty good. He's got to turn this back around.
Right.
And it appears from what the Democrats have been playing and what I'm seeing up here in the Cognetic campaign, that corruption is playing a big part in the public's mind.
Well, corruption always plays a big part. That's what the American public is concerned about, usually. It usually substitutes for concern about policy. Because it's easy to understand that somebody's robbing you. It's not so easy to understand the effects of policy, which requires reading, thinking, research, and facts, knowledge of facts. And the Americans, generally speaking, don't have access to training and reasoning or to the actual information about the world, the truthful information about the world, because the media is devoted to lying about the world, and the politicians certainly are devoted to lying about the world. So people are don't know the world. They don't know their own circumstances.
Well, the media that they watch or follow off, certainly, if you're talking about
exactly, right.
Fox or Newsmax or even worse, like Jones, Alex Jones.
Yeah.
You're not going to get the truth out on things.
No.
But those are realities. Those are realities that have to be dealt with. And I if I were with the Tallarico campaign, that would be, repeating all of these scandals, which, by the way, are continuing, and say, it's enough that we have this in Washington. Why do we want to send another person who's only going to make it worse to Washington?
The truth is, Paxton's victory was a strategic defeat for the Republicans in the country and in Texas. And it was a tactical victory for the Democrats in Texas. Now it depends on whether they can exploit it.
Yeah, properly. Remember, Texas has been this bright, shiny object that keeps eluding them. It was supposed to flip by 2024. We knew it didn't. And this is one of those elections, we'll believe it when we see it. Right now, Tallarico polls better against Paxton, but he's not at 50%.
Right.
And I have very little faith in the Texas electorate until we see otherwise in that. But, I started to mention, the scandals keep on coming. This week, Donald Trump took some hits. He had the settlement that he engineered for his phony $10 billion lawsuit that would give him and his family immunity from any investigation, let alone prosecution.
And a threatened $100 million fine that he would have had to pay.
From his tax returns. The judge who had before whom the suit was being adjudicated said, "I'm not. I'm reopening this because it appears that there may have been a fraud worked out here," so that's going to stay in the headlines. There are, you know, the issue over the east wing of the White House and the $1 billion that or $1.2 billion, that's staying in the public. There's now issues about the painting of the pool and you know, at the in front of the Lincoln Memorial.
That was a great story. It turns out that Trump gave the contract to a contractor that you'll be shocked to know he knows.
Right.
And it was a no-bid contract. And the New York Times and the Washington Post published an outline of the details of the contract as they were able to get them. And it turns out that the contractor is charging 20% on top of the contract price for overhead and 20% on top of that for profit. Now, it's normal in bidding events for there to be profit and overhead as separate items. But in this particular contract, the overhead items that they're charging 20% for were already covered in the detail of the contract. So the overhead was a double charge on the overhead. And overhead is normally 5%, not 20%. And profit is normally 10%, not 20%. So there's at least 40% of outright cheating in the way the contract was formed. This, forget the no bid part of it.
Well, you can't forget the no bid because anybody else who had experience would have bid would have had the other
would have got the contract.
Would have gotten the contract because they would have been underbidding because they wouldn't double cheated there.
But also then, Trump suffered a defeat because another judge said they couldn't rename the Kennedy Center the Trump Kennedy Center. They had to take Trump's name off it in the next 2 weeks, and they have to stop the construction. They've already fired everybody. They've already started the destruction.
Right. Yeah, and the judge was quite clear. He said Congress named it. Only Congress can change the name of it. So if I were Paige Cognetti, one of my questions would be, to Rob Bresnahan, are you going to vote to change the name of the Kennedy Center to put Donald Trump's name on there as well? Because remember, the Kennedys are pretty well loved up here in northeastern Pennsylvania. You've got that large Irish ethnic community.
Right.
But it's a side issue, but it incorporates the corruption and the ethnic issue as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, who knows? Maybe they're going to pay the contractors off in $250 bills.
That's right. That would be good. Right.
That's another norm. There's a law that says living people cannot appear on United States currency.
Maybe he's not living. Maybe he's really a zombie.
Well, he's been having a lot of testing done at Walter Reed. You know, people are wondering. He's been there, what, 3 or 4 times in the last year or so?
Three times.
Yeah, it had diagnostic testing with CAT scans and what have you.
Right. Which he's aced them all
because, as one doctor said, he could live to be 200.
200, that's right, exactly.
I want that bet on Kalshi or Poly Markets that he doesn't live to 200. I want to take that. Of course, you know, who knows? They'll find some way to rig that, like they're rigging their – you know, their bets based on stocks that they're investing in. You know, they had the Don Jr. stock again on the drone company.
Yep.
And the hits keep coming.
And you'll be shocked to learn that the Guardian of England did an investigation and discovered that the Trump family is heavily involved in building a pipeline paid for by the governments of Slovakia, Slovenia, and all of the Balkan countries that used to be part of Yugoslavia to bring American natural gas to Europe. How about that?
Was it Melania from Slovenia?
She's from Slovenia, correct. Anyway, that's it for today.
Okay. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.